Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Sherlock, Season 4, Episode 1, The Six Thatchers.
That's a lot of Thatchers.
Too many, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, I know how you feel about Margaret Thatcher.
And you know how I feel about Margaret Thatcher based off The Crown. Mm-hmm. That was just her portrayal. I don't have anything against the actual person.
Well, I mean, every time she's been portrayed in something we've watched, you haven't liked it.
You mean The Ones?
No, there was something else we saw that she was in that was a head of Margaret Thatcher in it, other than The Crown.
I don't know which one you're referring to, but okay. I'll trust you on that.
Can't remember, but I know that that has been something that has annoyed you. So, There we go. But yeah, we've got the six Thatchers. We have our usual caveats, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers. I mean, seriously, if you're all the way listening to season four of Sherlock and you haven't watched any of the show, you should have watched the show. And we are having things to drink. What are you having, Natalie?
I am having Earl Grey tea.
Why are you having Earl Grey tea?
I don't know. I'm just having Earl Grey tea.
All right. Feels kind of British, just a little bit.
A bit, yeah.
All right. So I went with chai tea, which it's more Indian than Middle Eastern, but hey, you know, I'm sure that there is a Middle Eastern version of chai that is almost as tasty. I love chai and I haven't had it in ages. It's so good.
Yeah, I haven't had it in a while.
Yeah, I got a little honey in it and milk. Yeah, so good. So good. I love chai. I'm now going to be probably on a chai kick for a while now. But yeah, let's get started.
All right, let's get into episode one, The Six Thatchers. Previously on Sherlock, they have, of course, hey, remember what happened like 2 years ago?
Yeah, because it's always like forever in between seasons.
Yeah. And honestly, I would have probably forgotten. So Mycroft has gathered a small group of government agents, including Lady Smallwood and a secretary, and Sherlock, to show them that the tape of Sherlock killing Charles Augustus Magnuson has been altered to absolve Sherlock of all of his crimes. And so,
why you would show people that you've altered it?
What do you mean?
Kind of gets rid of the whole secrecy element, right?
Well, there needs to be a people story aware of it. So. Yeah.
They have to have a story to tell, I guess.
Yeah. Sherlock is very carefree about it. He's even tweeting. And he seems high, but he's like, oh, it's a natural high, I assure you.
Well, and Mycroft's just furious about it because, you know, they've gone to such lengths to make it a situation where Sherlock doesn't need to be pardoned in order to get back in the employ of the government. And he's just not appreciating it. And it actually is something that kind of comes into play as a theme in some of these other episodes in this season. Like, you know, it's the rich and powerful kind of get absolved.
Of course, yeah.
So,
and Sherlock, when asked about Moriarty, he's like, Moriarty's dead. And I think Lady Smallwood is the one who talks to him about it, and she's just like, well, you said that you knew what he was going to do next. And Sherlock's like, yeah, he's going to do something long term. It's going to be big. I'm going to know. I'm going to wait for the game to start. And
well, he says it's posthumous. He's saying.
Yeah, he said that Moriarty's dead.
Right, but you know, what he says is no, he's not. He didn't fake his death, but he is still planning to do something. So you know, that's what we're going to wait for, essentially. Yeah.
Then Sherlock, over like just footage of an aquarium, he's telling this story of a merchant in Samara, and he is faced with death and he runs away from death, and he is found by death later on, and the merchant's like, fine, I give in. Why were you so shocked to see me in he was in Baghdad before. Why was he so shocked to see him in Baghdad? And Death said, because I had an appointment with you later in Samara. And so it's essentially like a predestination, you can't run away from death thing of you. It's just, it's how it's going to end, and you can't run away from fate. And So then there's a montage of cases where Sherlock is basically just like spending all of his time on cases, regardless of other things going on, like Mary having a baby. They have Mary and John have a little girl named Rosie. And Sherlock, Mrs. Hudson, and Molly are all godparents. And there's even a really cute moment of Sherlock trying to reason with Rosie. Like you think you see it just from Rosie's perspective of Sherlock just ranting about, like, you see, but you do not observe, Watson. You need to do this, that, and the other. So if you want to keep the rattle, don't throw the rattle. And then she throws the rattle at him, which is hilarious. I love it so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of montage stuff in here, and quite honestly, when I'm making notes, I don't always see all of it, so you may have to cover some of that.
Sure. John is on the bus and he makes eye contact with a woman. And then when he gets off the bus, he realizes that she was looking at a little plastic daisy that he accidentally put on his over his ear but forgot. So he's just like, oh, that's funny. So he's on his way to Baker Street because Lestrade tells Sherlock and John about a case on Michael Gregson's birthday. That's not his name. But
But it
it's
is
played
my
by the actor who played Michael Gregson
I
in
wrote
Downton
him down
Abbey.
Michael Gregson throughout my notes. He's
I couldn't help it, truly.
not, Michael
He
Gregson
will
from
always be
Abbey.
Michael Gregson.
Yes, he can be on the crown as someone else, and he's still Michael Gregson. So
Yeah.
I
Same
guess.
with Bertie, same
Yeah.
literally anyone on Downton Abbey. If I saw you in Downton Abbey first, I'm sorry. That's who you are forever.
Absolutely.
What was that one guy from Charles whatever, Charles Blake
Charles
will
Blake.
always be
You
Charles Blake
are going to be Charles Blake forever.
anyway.
You can be Albert. You're still Charles Blake.
On Michael Gregson's birthday, his son who's traveling abroad Skypes him and has him take a picture of his car before the call ends, which seems pretty normal, whatever. A
Yeah.
week later, a drunk driver hits the car and it explodes, and the son's body was found in the seat. There were two different fabrics on the seat, and he was dead for a week. So, how the fuck did that happen? He was abroad.
Right, so they're very confused, and Sherlock shows up to investigate it.
Well, he also forgot Greg's name again, but he was like mouthing back and forth with John, like trying to figure out what his name was.
Yeah.
Because I think he says the wrong name, and then he goes, just kidding. And then he looks at John and is like, what is his name? It's very funny.
Yeah. So they go to investigate, and obviously Lestrade is there, but Sherlock is distracted by things in the small study where they're having this consult about what happened with the son. And Sherlock is stalling because he's already figured out what happened to the son, but he is, yeah.
Sorry, there's one line while he's looking at the table with all the Margaret Thatcher
I
memorabilia.
haven't gotten to that yet, but go ahead.
Okay, you can go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay, well, he's being distracted by a gap in the memorabilia, and he says just to himself, which I don't think I caught that he said this line before, but he just says, by the pricking of my thumbs, which is a Shakespeare quote. It's not the most famous part of that Shakespeare quote, in my opinion. It's by the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. It's from Macbeth, and it is very appropriate for this episode with talking about a lot of predestination and can you escape your fate when it's already been confirmed what's going to happen. And it's a line by one of the witches in Macbeth talking about. It's just Macbeth coming into the scene, but it's a really awesome line. It's a great line.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point it out.
Yeah. No,
And I
it's
don't think I ever caught that before.
right. There's some Shakespeare, I think, in the next
Yeah,
episode.
there is Shakespeare in the next
But
episode.
yeah, and again, it's so great coming from Benedict Cumberbatch, who has
You
that
know,
literary
yeah.
background. So it's very fun.
I feel like maybe I heard it the first time and I was just kind of like, what the fuck is he saying? And then because I'm
Oh,
used to the
you
other.
don't know
Well, I do know Macbeth. I'm used to the other half of the line being the part that's said, not just the by the pricking of my thumbs.
Macbeth. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I've heard the by the pricking of
I
my.
recently reread Macbeth,
Yeah.
so I'm now very like attuned to that. So immediately I was like, oh, Macbeth.
Well, it's also a little, that comes up. I love how Macbeth is like the frog chorus in Harry Potter. You know, it's like
yeah, that's in, yeah, in Prisoner.
yeah, that was so fun. Anyway, so he's distracted by this gap on the table because there's clearly been some artistic arrangement of Margaret Thatcher memorabilia. There are pictures, there are little statues, and he realizes that something is missing, and it's really bugging him that something's missing. And that distraction is very upsetting to Michael Grigson and his wife, particularly. And they're just like, "Why are you here? You're wasting our time." And he asks them about there had to have been a bust that was missing, like a large bust. And Michael Gregson starts saying, "Oh yeah, we had a break-in a couple of weeks ago, and we found the bust taken and broken on the front steps, but they didn't take anything else." And so he's just very, he's like, "What does it mean? Does that have something to do with my son?" Because that's what Sherlock's delay is making them believe, is that these two things are related. But it turns out that they're not. And what happened with the son is he wanted to surprise his dad, but he had this kind of weird like seat cover thing that he put over himself in the driver's seat of the car, and he was going to surprise his dad when his dad came out to take the picture of the car. But while he was under the seat cover thing, he had a seizure and died, and so his body was not discovered until the vehicle ran into and exploded the car.
You know, I, as sad as that is, this is why you always have like a person who knows that you're going to be surprising your family. Like, if I were to be surprising like my dad, I would tell you, I'd be like, I'm surprising dad. And so that if something were to go wrong, you'd be like, hey, that's weird that she didn't surprise dad.
Or
And
didn't
then,
show up today, or
yeah,
didn't answer.
literally. So I'm just like, always let people know where you are. This is the worst case scenario where you probably could have been saved, bro. But they also don't put like a latex car seat cover over your face. Like, I don't think that helped. I don't think it was the only reason, but
I don't think it had much to do with the seizure, but it's just it's terrifically sad. It's very sad for the family.
no.
And of course, because he doesn't have real empathy, Sherlock goes right into his analysis of the break-in and what it might have to do with other stuff. And he believes that it has something to do with Moriarty. And so they start to get reports, or there start to be more break-ins with Margaret Thatcher busts. And we see this kind of montage of them.
Really quickly, there's a conversation between Mycroft and Sherlock about how it about if Moriarty had any connection with Thatcher, but apparently he didn't. He and Mycroft mentions this new case that Interpol's trying to figure out. It's the case of a missing black pearl, like an ancient black pearl of some kind.
The Borgia Pearl.
Borgia pearl, yeah. And they also talk about predestination and how that story that Sherlock was telling at the beginning in voiceover, the appointment of the merchant in Samara, he always hated that story and hated the idea that you didn't have any control over your fate. And so he always switched up the story so that it would be an appointment in Sumatra so
Yeah.
that the guy was able to get away from death. And it's again, it's just leading more towards the themes of predestination, which is interesting for this one, for
Yeah.
this episode in particular. But yeah, another bust is smashed. And a random man has PTSD. We don't know who this man is.
Right.
Lestrade talks to another detective outside of the flat about how
Like a
they,
waiting room. It's like a doctor's waiting room. They're like, oh,
essentially, yeah.
you have.
Yeah, they're both talking about how they need Sherlock's help for a case. And Sherlock has a boring client, and John put a balloon in his place, which is hilarious. And Sherlock didn't notice until just now.
Right.
And,
Well, balloon with a smiley face on it, so, because he was going to help Mrs. Hudson with Sudoku.
yeah, and John's just and Sherlock's like, "That's a shame. I thought you were improving." And
Wow. This poor
Lestrade
insurance guy
comes.
is sitting there because, like, in order to make it interesting for himself, Sherlock goes through this whole scenario of, oh, what actually happened is that your wife is setting up an assassination for Moriarty. And they're like, oh, is that really? Or is that right? And he's like, no.
No, she left him because he's boring and likes to wear her lingerie. And
Yeah.
so Lestrade tells him about the new broken bust, and there's some blood on the bust from the thief. And they go to a hacker's house and get his bloodhound to help track the blood. And Mary and Rosie go with them, and it's a dead end, and it's pointless. And I don't know why they wasted so much time on it. I think they just wanted to get a bloodhound in here just because it's like, look, kind of like classic Sherlock. I don't know.
Well, it was either that or, you know, I don't know, like to get married, give Mary something to do.
Well, Mary like called in for the first part with the Michael Gregson case, and she pointed out a few things. But I mean, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of them like tag teaming, like parenting plus going on little adventures and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's cute, but that particular vignette was kind of like
It was
meh.
mediocre. Yeah, I know. Sherlock thinks it's Moriarty. Another bust is smashed. Mary and John are in bed. They're talking about not getting any sleep, and Mary goes to take care of Rosie, and John looks at his phone. Why I'm saying this, it will come back later, and we'll talk about it later. The busts were made in the country of Georgia, and there is only one more in the country that hasn't been smashed. Because there was another robbery, which actually turned out to be a murder, that Lestrade tells Sherlock about. Sherlock goes to the final owner's house and hides out and waits for him. And
The robber, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
the robber shows up, and they fight for a while.
This is some good fight
No,
choreography.
it's great fight
Yeah,
choreography. It's
they
just
go
long.
through a plate glass window. They end up in a pool. There's like it's a serious struggle.
The bust is smashed, and Sherlock thinks it's going to be the Pearl of Borgias, but it's an Agra flash drive, just like Mary's was. And he's just like, but Mary like smashed her, like threw hers in a fire, or John did. But so
He
that
doesn't
one, it can't be that
say
one.
Mary's name though. What he says is, but
Well, he does say Mary's name at one
eventually,
point,
yes.
but he brings up Mary, and the man wants her dead and pocket sands away.
Yeah, he makes it, he shoots out the lights and runs away while the cops are getting there. And he had called to the cops beforehand saying he's a professional, which again, the Agra memory stick. Is like having all this stuff rush back. So we get a flashback to Tbilisi, Georgia, 6 years previously. There are hostages in a British embassy. These ninjas rappel in, there are four of them,
Literally.
literally. There's an ambassador who is a female who says that she has the ammo to help get them out. And she's saying this to one of the other hostages just before the ninjas rappel in. Mary is one of the ninjas. There are three others who are guys. The rescue fails, and it looks like everyone's going to die, and all of the ninjas are going to get killed, and the ambassadorial staff. So, but somehow Mary gets away.
And we see that both Mary and that man were both one of the ninjas.
Yeah, and we see that he's looking up Sherlock, because Sherlock had given his name while he was at the house, and he'd given Mary's first name but not last name. But Sherlock's such a unique name. The guy starts Googling and he finds the wedding picture that shows Sherlock and Mary in the same picture. We see that the guy was captured and tortured, and that while he was being tortured, he overheard things that they were saying, talking about an English woman who was a traitor who was part of the group, and he assumes that it's Mary. That Mary kind of dined him out. Sherlock meets Mary in an abandoned church to talk about what's going on because he just got attacked by this guy and it's an aggro memory
I don't
stick.
know why they're doing an abandoned church, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of abandoned church, abandoned building stuff this season. Stick has all of her aliases and everything on it. She asks if he's looked at it, and he's like, well, I just want you to tell me what happened. And so she describes this coup in Georgia, and she was the only one who made it out alive. And when they open up some of the stuff on the memory stick, Sherlock says that, but that guy just attacked me. She's like, AJ survived, let me go see him, that kind of thing. And Sherlock has to explain to her, it's like, no, he wants to kill you. And she's like, but why? It's like she, she hadn't thought this through. I mean, seriously.
Well, she doesn't know that. I can understand Mary's perspective of she assumed everyone else died.
Right.
So her just having one of her friends who were like family to her be alive, it's a major thing. But at the same time, I don't think she would be thinking, oh, he thinks that I betrayed him.
Well, but she, I think she's acting because she's very well prepared for what happens next, which is she's like, oh, sure, like, I hate to do this to you. And she hands him a piece of paper that looks like it's a note. He opens it up and it's apparently some sort of poison or something that's going to knock him out. So he gets knocked out, and he starts having visions of himself as a child and his Irish setter dog, Redbeard. Sherlock asks, goes in to talk to Mycroft about it. And in this discussion, it was just the best line. I had to write it down. He asked Mycroft, what are you, Wikipedia? And Mycroft says, yes.
I would also like to add to the conversation about Mary when she was discussing the Tbilisi incident. She mentions that they were told to go in, get the hostages, all that stuff, but there was a last minute change. It was just basically a word over a phone, ammo, which was, I guess, their trigger word or something. That's all they were told, really. And so that comes into play a little bit later.
Right. So when Sherlock is talking to Mycroft, he's trying to find out about Agra, this these assassins, freelance assassins. And Mycroft's like, yeah, after Tbilisi, we stopped using them. We got rid of all of that stuff. And he says he's very familiar with a lot of these things. And he's like, yeah, well, everything went wrong and everyone died in that one. Mary has disappeared. And she has this completely hilarious undercover thing.
It's so stupid.
Like she's just very loud and hiding in plain sight, as we have discussed, is like the MO. She changes her identity, she rolls the dice to move around to different places. But she has sent a letter or left a letter for John saying she's gonna come back and take care of Rosie and tell her I love her and blah blah blah. She has a number of documents hidden, like passports and stuff like that, like in a stone on Hadrian's wall or something. I mean, it's just like bizarre. We see her in Morocco, which is why I have my chai tea, which probably is not fully Moroccan, but good. Sherlock is, she comes into the hotel or apartment where she's staying, and Sherlock is playing Happy Families with a child. And they have this discussion, how did you find me? And Sherlock gives this extemporaneous, I did this brilliant deduction thing. And then he finally has to admit, we put a tracker in the memory stick. And John steps out and says, yeah, that was my idea.
It's so awkward because the John, poor John, he's been
He's sort of sidelined with a lot of this.
he really is in this episode. They do it less so later, but in this episode, for whatever reason, John just doesn't play a key role, and which is disappointing. I think that this
I'm
has a
sure
lot
Martin
to do with
Freeman is
him.
doing something though, like as the actor's unavailable and doing something, so that's possibly why they're why this is happening this
He's
way.
in a lot of scenes in this. He's just not doing a lot.
Yeah.
I think the thing is this story is mostly about Sherlock and Mary. And so John, for whatever reason, just has to be sidelined a bit for this one, which, I mean, I'm glad we're getting a little bit more Mary content considering we found out about this huge blow up thing la in the at the end of last season. And so you're expecting to have some fallout from that, some kind of reason that that's relevant. And so this is the episode where it's relevant. But I feel like we keep a lot of, well, we'll talk about that in a second. So Mary and John talk about Agra, And her name is actually Rosamond Mary, like they named
Mary.
Rosie.
Yeah.
And so AJ also tracks them and opens fire. They hide, and he tells Mary about his torture. And Alex, one of the other ninjas, he died from torture. And he mentions the English woman that betrayed them. And she's just like, it wasn't me. I didn't, would never betray you, because there's another element to their friendship where they all had the reason they had the memory sticks in the first place was that everybody's aliases and all of their dirty laundry, all of it is on those memory sticks. Everyone had one. And so no one could be betrayed because they had enough evidence on their own flash drive to ruin the other person. And so they had complete trust. And so she's trying to reason with him, but he gets shot by a cop and dies. So it doesn't really end well for AJ. So Sherlock tells Mycroft over the phone that he thinks ammo references Lady Smallwood's code name of love because of the Latin root. And they travel back to London. And this is where we see what John has been up to. John, when on that bus, he made eye contact with that woman. He left the bus, he found the daisy, all that stuff. He turned around and she was there. And they flirted a little bit, and she gives him her number. And before he throws it away, he reconsiders, and he actually puts it in his phone. And the only name she put on there is E, which we'll talk about later. But
So infuriating to me that John did this. And that theme comes up later. And I think some of it has to do with what's going on in his personal life.
I think, yeah, I well, we'll talk about that. I think there are other things. I think it's an interesting plot point. I don't think it's the best thing, but I think it makes for an interesting conversation, and we'll talk about that at the end of the episode, I think. So he got her number, and he would be texting her. And like, when, for example, in that one bedroom scene, when Mary goes to like take care of Rosie, he's texting her flirtily. She says, "I miss you. It's been too long," that kind of thing. And he's on the bus again a little bit later, and he ends things via text saying he's not free, he can't do this anymore. And then he runs into her outside of the bus at the bus stop.
She's stalking him. It's creepy.
And we don't, well, I mean, it's also possible that she was just using the bus, but it's more likely that she wanted to see him. And so he sends that text, but then he sees her at the bus stop, and then we don't see what happens after that. So
Right.
it's left up to interpretation in this episode. There's more context given next episode that we'll definitely talk about, but just we'll base this argument based off of what we know in this episode for like our argument about John and what this is. It is cheating, but I have very little tolerance for that bullshit. I think that a lot of people think that just texting or flirtily like texting and stuff like that, it's basically called emotional cheating. A lot of people don't really count that as cheating. I think that there are certain scenarios where it can be harmless to a certain degree, but this is not harmless. A woman gave you her number with the
Random.
express, a random woman who you don't know gave you her, and it can be like someone you already know, and that makes it even more egregious. However, especially when it's somebody random who you don't know, that you have to assume what her like
Intention is.
intentions
Yes.
are,
Yeah.
and you're leading her on and doing that kind of stuff.
By engaging at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should have just thrown it away
Yeah. I mean, why would you keep a
and
number?
been like, that was weird. It's nice to know that I've still got it, but no.
Yeah, I mean, like, if somebody just says, "Oh, you look pretty," it's like, "Oh, thanks,"
Yeah,
and
that's a
walk away.
compliment. Just like, go with it. Sure, whatever, fine. But when it's texting and getting flirty messages constantly, that's not okay,
It's
especially
not.
when you have a partner and especially when you have a child. So
Yeah.
fuck off, dude. Sorry. And we will talk about this more. I don't love this, but I think it does raise certain things because there's another element to this, and I'll probably discuss it a little bit when we're talking about like best part, worst part. But I think it's also interesting to look at it from the lens of how dysfunctional his relationship with Mary is in the first place. Their relationship has never been built on trust, and there has never been complete trust between them. And I think this episode proves that. I really love them together. However, we have to also acknowledge that Mary has been lying to him this entire time.
Yeah, she's very flawed.
She is extremely flawed. I love Mary, but she is extremely flawed.
I love her as a character in the show. That doesn't mean I love her as a human being.
No, agreed, agreed.
So.
She's very funny and she's awesome in the show. I just think that if I were to encounter her in real life, and if my friend told me, if my friend was John and he told me that bullshit, I would be like, leave her. Like, I'm sorry, but that's absolute horseshit.
Okay, well,
But we'll talk about that later. So Lady Smallwood is getting interrogated by Mycroft because she was the conduit for Agra at the time, and she says she's innocent, and Mycroft does believe her. Sherlock then figures out it was Lady Smallwood's secretary. So
yes.
Mary talks to John about being perfect, him being perfect, but
How
before they
hard
really
that is
can.
for her, and how hard that is for her in their relationship because she thinks that he's all perfect.
Yeah, and but before John can confess to his many sins, they get a text from Sherlock saying to meet him at the aquarium immediately. And so Mary goes while John takes care of the babysitter for Rosie. The secretary, Norbury, tells the story of the merchant from Samara again. You get it?
But because hey, there are sharks here, so we need to talk about it.
So who thought they could outrun death, and she basically uses it as a metaphor for herself of like, I thought I was going to be able to like get away with all of the stuff that I've been doing, but I guess not. Mary shows up, and Norbury essentially was selling secrets to, and the ambassador in Georgia found out, but was a hostage. So she was like, oh, I couldn't believe my luck, but then I heard Agra was going to be sent in, and so I had to fuck them over, and so I tipped off the hostage takers and told them the key word, ammo, and which was given by Lady Smallwood to Agra as well. And so she basically just betrayed them. And so, of course, Mary's furious. She's about to go for her, but Norbury pulled out a gun. Sherlock starts making deductions that annoys her about her being jealous and her having no life really worth living. And
Right,
it's
he's basically being a shield for Mary. Like he is trying to distract Norbury away from Mary.
And because
It's actually kind of brilliant. It's like, oh yeah, you just didn't like that you couldn't be out in the field. You know, he just is really dissecting her. It's really.
the cops and Mycroft show up and they're trying to talk Norbury down, but Norbury's like, no, I don't really care. And so she tries to shoot Sherlock, but Mary jumps in front of him, which I would like to say this whole jumping in front of people who are about to get shot, I don't, is probably one of my least favorite tropes. Because push the person out of the way, because you know what a bullet can do, go through you. And so it could hit both of you.
Out of the way too. That can happen if you're pushing them out of the way too.
No,
Just
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you want to preserve as much life as possible, perhaps, maybe you should, you're also like a trained assassin. You should know that. You shouldn't just be like, me. It's like, no.
why didn't she have a gun and have it out? I mean, like,
There were also cops there. Why didn't they do anything?
yeah, why does everyone just stay there? They're afraid to
There
shoot
were armed
because
guards there.
they don't want to shoot the sharks in the aquarium. That's got to be it. Like, they don't want
Jesus
to shoot.
Christ, I can't
I
with that. That is so stupid.
don't. It is insane.
I
So,
think that this
here.
loses a lot of its emotional impact because of the stupidity of the situation.
It doesn't for me. And it gets it for me. What it's not actually that she jumps in front of shooting, it's what happens with John
No,
after.
that part gets me, but this
Very.
first part of me just like watching it happen, I'm just like, what?
Yeah, there are several visual things that happen in this season that are cheesy to me, and included in this episode, there will be worse parts that I talk about. But let's talk about what actually
Okay. So
happens.
Mary, I thought you were going to. M
Yes.
Mary thanks John for her. John comes running in, of course, at the last minute, and he basically, like he gets her like propped up against a little bench and is holding her, and she thanks John for her ha normal happy life, and she apologizes for shooting Sherlock, which is hilarious to do at this point. She's like, "I think we're even, right? Like, definitely even." And then he's just like, "Yeah, no, totally, we're totally even." And she says that being Mary Watson was the only life worth living, and she dies in John's arms. And then John makes some unnatural sounds, but they're warranted. Like, because you know how I was making fun of in Hounds of the Baskerville, the traumatized guy getting very weird sounds? I think this is warranted.
No,
And
I mean that it's very, very visceral.
but the way it goes is John immediately blames Sherlock for not keeping his vow, because there's been talk this entire episode, and there it since John, I'm sorry, since Sherlock in The Sign of Three made a vow to protect both Mary, John, and their child, there has been a lot of talk in this episode about I'm going to uphold my vow. I'm going to make sure that everyone remains safe. Like, no, nothing bad's going to happen.
We've got to go back to London because I can keep you safe there. I mean, these are
Yes.
things that Sherlock's saying. I made a vow, I made a vow.
And so John immediately is just like, you made a vow and you didn't uphold that vow. And Sherlock just can't say anything, because he's just like,
Everyone
what?
is shocked and horrified, and of course, he's
Yeah.
very upset about that too. So, what happens here, though? And I think again, this is something that happens a bunch with this season, is that we have the Lord of the Rings endings to the episodes, because it's like, and
What do
then,
you mean?
like, that would have been a great ending to the episode, but
Yeah, I agree.
we're getting
Oh, and then you have feel like you
John
have to
not
tie
answering.
everything up.
Yeah, John doesn't answer his phone. Sherlock talks to a therapist. But he doesn't want to talk about John. He just wants to not know what to do about John. We see Mycroft in his empty refrigerator. We see Mrs. Hudson.
Well, what we see Mycroft do is he has a reminder that it's the 13th and he needs to call Sherringford.
Sherringford. And again, these things, Sherringford is going to be a theme in this season here. Mrs. Hudson cries about John and Rosie, and she's mad at Sherlock. Sherlock asks Mrs. Hudson specifically, like, if I ever am getting too full of myself, say the word Nor Norbury to me, because that will take care of, that will remind me that I'm not as great as I thought I was. But there is a disc that has been a computer disc that is in an envelope. Sherlock opens it, it says, "Miss me" on it. And so he opens it up because, of course, he thinks it's Moriarty, but it's in fact Mary. And she's like, "I knew that would get you." And she has a recorded statement to Sherlock, like, "Sherlock, you got to do something. You got to take care of John for me." And she tells Sherlock to do something, and we see that Molly is helping take care of Rosie. Sherlock has gone by to see John, but Molly comes out with Rosie, and she's like, "Yeah, no, he doesn't want to see you," and gives Sherlock a letter. But in the video, Mary has told Sherlock to save John Watson. And then there's the real ending. But it's kind of a cheesy, like, they have him kind of staring off, Sherlock staring off into London and blah, blah, blah. And there are circumstances where it works. There have been so many in this episode that you get kind of like, okay. Okay. So what were your best parts of the episode?
Sherlock interacting with a baby is hilarious. I like that in general. And I think there is a moment where he's showing Mycroft pictures of Rosie, and Mycroft is just, yeah, she looks very fully functioning. Like, what do you want me to say? I don't do well with humans. Like, leave me alone.
That's funny.
But it also, that moment kind of shows how different Sherlock and Mycroft can be, about how Sherlock has, even though he also again gives off this air of no humanity, whatever, he does have so much humanity, and he's just like everybody else. Like, he's showing Mycroft pictures of his friend's baby. Like, that's just a friend thing to do. So, I mean, that's just funny to me. More Agra background. I think I'm glad that they expanded on it a little bit. I think it's interesting. Like, we don't really need to know like a ton about Mary's background. We can all guess, because I mean, they mentioned a few times, it's like, oh yeah, so many dead bodies and so much like killing kind of thing. It's like, all right, we can connect the dots. They were mercenaries, so I mean, this kind of is what you do. They were freelancing, and what an interesting job to have.
Point.
I'm sure it paid well. Anyway, I think the idea of predestination in this, it's not very subtly like reinforced or anything like that. It's certainly not subtle. But I do think there are a few moments where Mycroft is talking to Sherlock, and he's just like, listen, people like Mary, they don't live to retirement age. That's just not how they roll. And if Mary had been able to completely escape this life, maybe she would have. But I mean, there's a
Not
ticking clock
a
for a lot of these people.
yeah,
And she kind of led a life that kind of lends itself to this kind of end. It's just kind of how it is. And a lot of the reason why she died is because of stuff that happened in the past. It's not really Sherlock's fault, even though Sherlock was,
uncovered it, he figured it out.
yeah, just because he figured it out doesn't mean it's his fault that she got shot.
No.
She and there's more to talk about later, but yeah, I guess those are my best parts.
So yeah, my best parts, I really think John and Mary, the destiny scene is really well done. John's, I think that's really, really well done. I liked the twist of the secretary being the bad guy. That was kind of
Yeah,
fun.
that was good. I think that was well done.
And I think that performance was great for the actress. I mean, I
Oh,
think
she was fantastic. I
it was
loved her.
great.
I didn't really talk about her because the rest of the scene is so important. We didn't
Right.
really focus too much on her, but I like how calm she is that time to time. She's just like when I was talking about how she was like, oh, she's comparing herself to the merchant in the story of like, well, I always thought I'd get found out eventually. I thought I'd be able to run outrun death, but here I
Well,
am.
right, but then she gets eviscerated by Sherlock about like, the red wine stains on your lips, and you're just like, it, like, oh yeah, your
You have a
hands,
lot of cats.
you have a lot of
It's
cats, like, I guess
just like
that's
fuck off, dude. No wonder
right.
she shot at you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's being a dickhead, and he's doing it on purpose so that she doesn't shoot Mary, but then she shoots Mary. But I think the performance is terrific. I think Mary in this episode is great. And I think in this role, this actress is amazing. There are a lot of reasons for it. But I think that they give her a lot of comic stuff. And she just chews the scenery when she's in it. She does a great job with everything that she's doing. And I feel like that is terrific. What were your worst parts?
Mary's death, I think it makes a lot of sense. They wanted to add some drama and knowing how the
Conflict.
rest. What?
Conflict. They wanted to add conflict between John and Sherlock, too.
Yes, I know. And there are only so many ways to redo a conflict between John and Sherlock. It's either going to be, we have different morals, or I'm going to go off the deep end and you're just going to have to figure it out. And there are only so many things you can do with that, and now it's going to be John blaming Sherlock, and it's probably the biggest conflict they've ever had. And we'll definitely get to see a little bit more of the effects of that. I just think it's sad because I feel like even though we got like four, three, technically four episodes with the Abominable Bride, we technically got a lot of quite a bit of time with Mary, but I just think it's a shame. I really like Mary. I think that her skills, maybe she was just too skilled. And so they felt like maybe if it was both her and Sherlock on cases, John would feel obsolete. And that could have been something to like, and maybe, and they were kind of leaning into that a little bit in this episode, but I don't know. I think they were scared to have another really smart, talented person. Anyway.
Disappointing, but yeah, I can see that.
John may be cheating, or no, it is cheating, but
Not physically cheating, but cheating.
yeah, to our knowledge, it's not physical at all, but at the same time, I'm just like, see,
See, the timing in this episode, I thought he was physically cheating. I was really extra.
I thought he was too, because of he sends the text, but then he sees her and then he doesn't do anything. They just stand there. And I'm just like, oh, you're going to go fuck. I hate you. But I think him cheating, it's an interesting storyline. I wish they had switched up the timeline a little bit. I think that it would have been interesting if after Mary left to go on her little like adventure, switching identities, doing whatever. We don't know how long that was because she traveled quite a bit. But I think that it could have been interesting for him to be like, well, she left me. I don't know what to do now. Like, what am I supposed to do? But there is an added element to them fully being together at the time, her taking care of their daughter while he's texting this girl. And I think it's an interesting dynamic for Mary, and it's kind of been developed since the last episode of the third season, of Mary not being perfect and her thinking John's perfect and him being on the moral high ground because he hasn't been like keeping something from her this entire time. But
he's also not an assassin.
That's also true. But I think that that is an interesting dynamic, and her feeling inferior to him in a way, and her feeling guilty about that, but now kind of putting them more on a level playing field in a way. I think that's what the writers were trying to do, and make him, and there are discussions in the next episode about that, which I find interesting. But yeah, at this point, yeah, that the dog thing is just useless. It was kind of funny at first, but I'm just like, why did they spend so much time on this? And montages. There were a lot of montages in this one. And I'm okay with like a really quick crime-solving montage, but there's randomly the aquarium montage at the beginning where he's telling this random story about predestination. And then there's just, they're just a lot. And I'm just like, why?
Yeah, I didn't, sorry, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, so I didn't label them as montages as the worst part, but I think that part of, because I agree with you, I you know, I hate montages anyway, because it is lazy storytelling.
Sometimes.
Often. And in this case, part of like the montages, like there are weird points at which like the lighting, that watery blue lighting,
mm-hmm.
like will just be across Sherlock's face in a completely different context, like as like a callback. It's like, oh my god,
you remember
yeah, I remember, like, okay, no,
remember 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, you remember like 2 seconds ago when you were in the fucking aquarium. it's kind of like I don't need to be beaten over the head at that level. And I do think, you know, one of the reasons that we like Sherlock is that they explain all of the clues and all that stuff. And it's kind of nice. I mean, it is nice to feel like, hey, I could have done that. Hey, I might be that smart. You know, that kind of thing. That's that feeling that you get from Sherlock stories in general, or, you know, detective stories. I think the problem is that you feel like you're being beaten over the head a little bit. And there's so many great performances and great writing. It wasn't necessary. It's disappointing. And, you know, so that was a big worst part for me. I didn't like killing Mary. I agree. I understand why it happened. And I do think that there probably were a number of elements to it to include, I think, what was going on in the personal lives of the
actors.
Because
as we mentioned, they got divorced in between seasons 3 and 4. Both of the actors who played John and Mary did. And so I can understand how that would be an awkward situation on set. Like, you have to act out, oh, you had the birth of your first child. Remember when you did that in your real life? It's like, yeah.
Well, that, and I think there were allegations, to my recollection, that Martin Freeman was cheating.
Oh, that's even worse.
and apparently Mary had the actress who plays her has either a drug problem or something. I mean, there's a lot of
people's lives are messy, and
the actors' lives particularly are messy.
I don't really love it when if that is true, I don't really love it when writers write what's actually happening into a script with the characters and the actors and stuff like that. It just feels a little bit cheap. know
in a
what? Like,
way.
okay, so I don't like it when it's a negative. I love it when it's like, once upon a
Something
time
cute.
and
Yeah,
like
when it's once upon a time, it's cute. But
Dallas
like,
and it's Jennifer Goodman and
yeah, it's adorable. And when things that are happening in their real life would impact the show, like Jennifer Goodman getting pregnant, like that, they write that in the show and it's really cute. But I think that when it's something negative, so negative like this, I don't know if that's why they did the John cheating. I think there was a narrative purpose to a certain degree of at least figuring out that John isn't perfect. He's always the moral compass of the show, but he in himself is a human and he makes mistakes. I don't like the mistake he made, but it makes him a more complex character.
It does. I think one of the things that and it's going to come up again in this season, this idea that John being a moral compass makes him stupid, or just common. It's insulting in a way.
And it goes against a lot of what they've been saying in the past with their dynamic. Like, their dynamic works because of who these people are.
Right.
Because Sherlock doesn't always read the room. John does.
Right.
John is the one who's aware of the emotional parts of things. Sherlock
Or
is really
someone
good at.
dying over there. Let me go figure.
Exactly. And I think there's a line from Mrs. Hudson in the next episode that I just thought of. Oh, you're an idiot, sweetheart, but you're a good doctor, so that evens out. I'm like, that's not just John's thing. He's not an idiot. And I think that them,
When
I
doctors
think it's a
aren't idiots,
funny.
can we just point that out too?
I, you can't. You, it's very hard to be an idiot and a doctor simultaneously, but it's not impossible. But I also one example of this in this episode is the whole balloon thing, and I think that's funny. It's a funny gag of like. And there have been like jokes about it in the past of like there not being John not being in the chair and Sherlock thinking he's talking to John this entire time, but it being like, oh, I could be replaced by a balloon and you wouldn't notice and it wouldn't make any difference. I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of John
Being taken for granted in that way.
and also recognizing that he's being taken for granted and just taking it. Like, I think. He was being taken for granted, especially in this episode. I think that also could be an element of why he wanted some reassurance from another person because he wasn't getting it anywhere else.
All
And
right.
so, yeah.
What grade did you give this episode?
B plus? I don't know. It's
Yeah, that is exactly. I have a B plus question mark. It's like,
Me too. It's just hard
might
because
be a B, but a
no,
lot of
I think it's a B plus. I think it is a good episode. It's not an A by any means. I think that there are pacing issues and stuff like that. Like the montages slow it down and stuff like that. But the character beats in this are interesting and they set up for an interesting season ahead because there are so many dynamic shifts just in this episode that we don't get to see resolved yet. Like the whole how John is treating Sherlock, how Sherlock is trying to get back in his good graces and Mary being dead and all that stuff. There are a lot of interesting things ahead. And so, yeah, I'm gonna give it a
So
B
we have a
plus.
lot to look forward to. We hope that you join us and
Cheers.